with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. Well, it's almost time for the annual Sydney Festival, enjoyed by thousands of Sydneysiders and way beyond. And this year, it will be enjoyed by even more, by people who've been excluded in the past by dint of their disabilities. The organisers of the Sydney Festival have put together a wonderful accessibility program with Auslan interpreting, audio description, tactile experiences, and much more. I have on the line today Fiona Winning, Head of Programming at the Festival, so we can learn more about their efforts to make the event accessible to all. Hello, Fiona. We're very pleased to catch you at such a busy time.
Thank you.
I can't believe a year has elapsed, actually, since the last Sydney Festival, but I imagine that you can.
Yes, pretty busy in here, but it's great. It's all gearing up for a great festival.
Before we launch into a discussion about accessibility, which is the main topic of today, I know most people are familiar with the festival, but perhaps you'll give us just a brief overview of the event itself, you know, what, where and when.
Sure. We're an annual festival, so we happen every January for 3 weeks. This coming year is the 7th to the 26th of January. We've been running for 40 years, so in fact it's our 40th birthday this year.
Oh, fantastic.
And we're very excited about that, so that it means we're celebrating a kind of body of work and a legacy around the city, I guess. So it's a particularly special festival, the 2016 festival.
And your festival director, it's his last year, is that correct?
That's right. Leven Bertels has been here. This is his fourth year and it's his final year. And the new director, Wesley Enoch, who has started here, he will program the 2017 program. So the 16 is Leven's final festival, and we have an amazing array of work that we do across the city in all sorts of venues and outdoor spaces. So we do a lot of free work as well as a lot of ticketed events, special events in both established venues and venues that are new and surprising for people.
Well, I read on your website, which incidentally is fantastic, it's a great website, that you've got an avalanche of activities. How many performances or activities are there over the period?
Oh, look, I haven't got those figures in front of me, but I think there's 85 events and over 300 performances. A lot of them are free. They traverse contemporary music, classical music, theatre, dance, and visual arts and popular culture. I mean, we invite people to big outdoor installations to socialise with each other, but also to interact with the artist's work.
Would you consider yourself to be avant-garde as a festival?
Look, because we see ourselves as servicing the whole of Sydney, we're interested in all sorts of different audiences. So yes, we have an avant-garde part of the program, but we also have, you know, a family part of the program, a very accessible part of the program down at the Festival Village. We really try to talk to many, many different audiences within our great city of Sydney.
Well, it seems that the festival team have made a really tremendous effort this year to make everyone, regardless of accessibility needs, able to enjoy the program. Do you have a special accessibility group advising and working on it?
Within the staff, we have an accessibility committee, and so that has representation across all of the departments, across the organisation. So it's a very significant strategy to try and get the whole of organisation buying into what are the accessibility needs of some of our audiences and how can we address those, whether it's through programming, production, marketing, etc. So we have fairly regular meetings, but this year in particular, it's been driven by one of our staff members in programming, Rachel Grimes-Carr, Michael, who's done a fantastic job. We've also had Jenny Spinak, who's actually a very experienced accessibility worker who's worked with the Sydney Opera House for 10 years, and she's come on board to give us some advice this year. And it's really helped us to clarify what we're doing and to, in a sense, just streamline it and communicate better what we do.
And you actually draw up a specific plan, don't you? A disability action plan, I think it's called.
Yes, we've had one for several years and we're in the middle of revamping our new one, which will come out early next year.
How many performances or activities are made accessible, and can you detail some of the different services that are available at these?
Yes, it's a little bit hard to say, but across our program, we've probably got 12 events that we've specifically worked at providing an Auslan interpreter, for example, for a couple of the shows. We also have audio description for people who are blind, who have low vision, and that's where audio describers give live verbal descriptions of the actions and costumes and scenery so that people get a sense of the visual elements of the performance and they're able to hear what is going on stage in addition to that. We also do tactile tours for a couple of shows and installations, and that's where a vision impaired or blind people can actually have the opportunity to hear the artist or be introduced to the work, feel what people are seeing. So, for example, we've got a beautiful sound installation in a garden in Vaucluse House called The Pleasure Garden by Genevieve Lacey. And this is a very beautiful piece where you wander around the garden and listen to what is a series of beautiful sound compositions by Genevieve and another artist called Yan Bang. So whilst this is a listening exercise, of course, it's in a garden. So people who are visually impaired will have the opportunity through a tactile tour to be introduced and to the feel of the plants, the smell of the plants at very close range before they go into the garden, so that their sense of what the garden looks like is heightened through the opportunity to have had a tactile tour prior to that. So it's a beautiful way of meeting the artist, but also getting a much greater sense of the fullness of the work. Similarly, we're doing that for a fantastic show called The Rabbits, which is Opera Australia has created in conjunction with a small company in Western Australia called Barking Gecko Theatre Company. And this is a beautiful, big family work, which is an opera based on the John Marsden and Sean Tan book of the same name. It's composed by Kate Miller-Heidke. It has libretto by Lally Katz. So it's incredibly rich as a sound experience, as a piece of opera. But also, of course, visually it is as well. So for that, we're doing a tactile tour so people can come along and have the visuals explained to them, but also actually feel the costumes and feel the textures of what people are wearing and what the set design is.
How wonderful.
So that's a big work, for example, that we're doing an audio description at one performance and we're doing a tactile tour at another performance. So we try to offer different opportunities, I guess, so that people can experience the works in the festival. I guess one of the other things that's fairly new in our programming is relaxed performances.
Oh,
They're sensory-friendly performances. And this is fairly new in our program. We just trialled this last year. It was very successful. So it's basically creating a safe and welcoming environment for kids on the autism spectrum or other disabilities that have sensory sensitivities. Mostly they're accompanied by carers or friends. So this is in our family program. So we've got two shows, a beautiful piece called Sunny Ray and the Magnificent Moon, which stars Sunny Ray. Her best friend is the Magnificent Moon, and she's always questioning, well, what happens at night, because I always go to bed on dusk. So this show kind of explores what happens when the sun breaks all the rules and stays up to have fun with the moon all night. So, you know, it's a kids show. It's beautiful. And what we want to do is to make sure that the kids on the autism range and indeed other sensory disabilities are able to enjoy that. So we just soften the kind of shifts and changes in the work in terms of the lighting and sound, and just create a kind of very safe space. And they mix with other audiences, so we advertise it as a sensory-friendly performance and create a space that people can leave and go to if the kids get overloaded. So we're also doing a big physical piece. These are both as part of our family week in the Meriton Festival Village. And so they're in Spiegel tents, so they're already in really sort of charming, beautiful atmospheres. So the other work that we're doing, a sensory-friendly performance, is a work called Tolu, which is a physical theatre work by a fantastic company in Brisbane called Cassis Circus. Basically, the premise is this is three friends discover each other's likes and dislikes and soft spots as they twist, flip, flap, spiral, balance, jump and climb in a vivaciously fun story told through circus.
Also, there was another one that fascinated me, Ephemeral City. Are people who have disabilities, for example, they might be in a wheelchair or something, can they take part in the Ephemeral City?
Yes, they can. So the Ephemeral City is a very exciting project in a new precinct for Sydney and indeed for the festival, of course. And that's called The Cutaway at Barangaroo. So it's a beautiful, beautiful space in that fantastic new site. And the artist is Olivier Grostet. He's a French artist. He's actually here right now on a site check. What happens with that work is that people create an ephemeral city. They actually build with cardboard boxes and tape a city as a community. Now, the physical accessibility at that site is very good. On our website, all the descriptions of where to park or where to drop off and how to get to sites for people with wheelchairs or other physical disabilities, they can find out how to get there. But in terms of the cutaway, it's been very well designed so that it's physically accessible. And one of the exciting things that we've got happening there is we're putting up a flying fox so that people fly over and basically see the city from above. And we're working at this moment with the people who make the flying fox to make sure that it's possible for people with some disability to be able to have that experience. We work on this stuff with Paul Nari, who's a fantastic advocate, works with us and helps us basically test a lot of our sites so that we're able to preempt what issues there might be for somebody in a wheelchair as they come to any of our venues or sites.
Well, talking about logistics, things like height of the ticketing bench, is that what you're talking about that Paul would advise on?
Yes, absolutely. And also, you know, we do big shows down at the Domain or even working in Hyde Park where the Meriton Festival Village is. You're just not aware when you're not in a wheelchair how many challenges there are in terms of changes in small steps or different kind of gradations of the soil or the grass or whatever. Mm-hmm. And indeed, one can say, well, at the Domain, it's really obvious that it's accessible, but when there's 20,000 people there,
yes,
how does somebody in a wheelchair see when it's a standing crowd? So we're always trying to address those issues, imagining what it's like when the venue is full. How does somebody A, get in, and B, see? I have to say, we don't always succeed. We fail from time to time, but we are thinking about it and working on it. Because we work across many, many venues, for example, we're doing a beautiful series of folk music in St. Stephen's Church, not an accessible space, so we're having to work on how to make that accessible and to put in a temporary lift and temporary accessible toilets. We invite people to let us know what worked, what didn't work, because we're on a constant learning curve, I'd say. You know, technologies change all the time, the sites we use change all the time, and so we're always looking for better ways to deliver.
Well, you mentioned a couple of things there that would incur a cost. Does it add a lot to the cost of the festival to make accessible services available?
A lot, no. Yes, certainly does. It's a program that needs its own budget line, because obviously all of these services need staffing, people who we need to pay. We see that as being part of the core cost of putting on a festival for a broad city audience, you know, just as it costs to do a children's program.
Sure, absolutely. Now, how do you book for performances if you have special requirements, such as audio description?
I should actually say that we support the companion card program so that
people
who require assistance or a companion or carer, second tickets issued at no cost to the companion card holder. So in terms of booking phone calls, so there's for TTY users, there's a phone number. So we invite people to call us and talk to us either through TTY. We've also got an access email address that we invite people to send us emails and we'll, and internet relay users, you know, so we've got many of the services that mean that that people can be in touch with us.
And booking either through that or and then online as well.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Terrific. Mm. Fiona, fascinating. It sounds so exciting. And I congratulate you on making such an effort in all the ways that you've done it to plan for people who do have need of accessibility services. So good luck with it. You must be now getting down to the wire. 7th of January is not very far away. So
yes,
I hope it all goes well in the final stages.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I would just say, if anybody listening to the program does want to call us and get more information, we have accessibility brochures. So they can call us on 8248 6500 and we can send out whatever they need. So for a friend or for themselves, please be in contact because we're very keen to build our audiences.
8248 6500.
That's it.
I have been speaking with Fiona Winning, who's the head of programming at the Sydney Festival. Bookings are essential for all accessible services. To discuss your access requirements, or in fact to book any of the access services or performances, call reception 8248 6500 or email access@sydneyfestival.org.au. The phone number for TTY users is 133 677 and then ask for 8248 6500. Speak and listen users, phone 1300 555 727. Then ask for 8248 6500. Internet Relay users, visit relayservice.gov.au and ask for 8248 6500, and then you can book. Enjoy the festival, everyone. You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next programme.